right, wonderful. Take your Bibles and go to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, if you would, to start. Mark chapter 4. Gospel of Mark chapter 4 to begin this morning. Today's Sunday, December the 19th, 2021. We will not be meeting next Sunday, so this is our final fellowship of the year, 2021. Adios. In Mark chapter 4, verse 1, and he, referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, began again to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. Over the past number of weeks, we've been looking at just some of the accomplishments of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This time of year, there's some focus on the birth of Jesus Christ and God sending his only begotten Son, and that's wonderful. But we have been looking in the last number of weeks at some of the things that Jesus Christ accomplished by his completed work of finishing his Father's work. One of those that he did that is often overlooked is establishing the kingdom of God. And that topic, it's a big topic, and it's covered quite extensively in the Walking in God's Power Advanced class. But Jesus Christ, if you're familiar with the gospel, spoke many times about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, which is the same thing. I think last week, maybe the week before, John 3 with Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God. But Jesus Christ did accomplish what Adam ruined. He did establish God's kingdom. I bring that up because this parable is related to that. Verse 3 again, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. So he's speaking to them this parable. And it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. You know, the seed just lay in there, pops. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit, that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now is the end of the parable. So he spoke this parable. He said, if you got ears to hear, let him hear. So obviously they had ears. It wasn't a multitude of deaf people, right? And I'm not saying that facetiously, but he was talking to them, said, if you have ears to hear, let him hear. In other words, if you have ears to hear with understanding. When he was alone, verse 10, they that were about him with the 12 asked him about the parable. So that's the disciples and the 12, how wise they were. Would you explain this to us? Well, sounds like they wanted some understanding, right? They wanted to learn. They had ears to hear. Verse 11. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. Unto you it is given. To them that are without. Without what? Ears to hear. That seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. See, verse 11 says, again, them that are without. They didn't have ears to hear. They didn't really want to learn. They didn't want to understand. They didn't want to believe. It was their decision, right? The disciples were the ones that, by their free will, wanted to hang out, wanted to be around. Said, hey, I want to know. I want to learn. If you keep your finger here, we're going to Matthew 13, where this same parable is also recorded. Matthew 13. Great truths, Jesus Christ speaking here. Matthew 13, and we'll start in verse 9. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. This is right after he spoke the parable that we just read in Mark. Okay, the sower and the seed, you know, by the wayside, stony ground, thorns, good ground. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 9 says, and the disciples came and said unto him, why do you speak to them in parables? Why do you teach in parables? And you know from reading the Gospels, Jesus Christ spoke a lot of parables. They said, why do you do that? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven or of God. But to them it is not given. Why? Because they didn't have ears to hear. But the disciples wanted to know. They wanted to understand. They had ears to hear. Verse 12. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Whosoever hath what? Ears to hear. Those that have ears to hear, unto them or to him shall be given more. People that have ears to hear want to understand. Guess what? They get more understanding because they want to know. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, who said, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you're going to see and shall not perceive. Why? Here it is. For this people, this is a prophecy from Isaiah, this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Wow, isn't that something? Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. And then he goes on to explain to them the parable of the sower. But he was explaining to them, why do you teach in parables? Because they don't desire to learn. It's like Isaiah said, their hearts wax gross, their ears are dull of hearing. But you guys, you want to hear. You want to understand. So let's go back to Mark chapter 4, and he will explain the parable. He does it in Matthew, but we're going to read the explanation in Mark 4. In Luke, it's similar as well. So, back to Mark chapter 4, verse 13. And he said unto them, don't you know this parable? Know ye not this parable? How then will you know all parables? Wow, guess this is an important parable to understand. The sower, verse 14, sows the word. And context from here and from looking at Matthew, the seed is the word of God. In Matthew, it said the word of the kingdom. In verse 11, he was talking about the mystery concerning the kingdom of God. The sower sows the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. They hear it, right? Sure. But they don't have a desire to believe it. It's like 2 Corinthians 4 says, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto her. So they could hear it, but then it's ripped away because they don't believe it. These are verse 16, and these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. Wow, this is cool. I like this. So they're excited about it. Verse 17, though, says, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended or caused to stumble. They hear, they get excited, but affliction, which is mental pressures, from what? From whatever. Yeah. Physical, emotional, relationships, financial, anything that puts pressure on you, or persecution for the word's sake. What do you mean? You believe in the Bible? Are you one of those holy roller people? Come on. You take a Bible class? Come on. That is light persecution. Very light. Compared to a lot of things that go on in our world today, in places where you could lose your life. But those two things, mental pressure or persecution, take people away from the Word of God, and they bear no fruit because they have no root. In keep your finger here, look at Colossians 2. Familiar verse, we're coming right back, but Colossians 2. See, it's not enough just to hear the Bible and go, wow, that's cool. Oh, really? Oh, that's neat. I like that. That's great, but you got to get rooted. Because if you don't get rooted, then affliction or persecution will just take you out. It'll take the word away from you. Colossians 2:6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted. Guess whose job that is? Mine. Mm-hmm. Nobody can root you. You have to root yourself. That was an odd way of saying it, wasn't it? All right. How about if I just say, this is what the Bible says. Rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. We get rooted, built up, and established. Back to Mark chapter 4. And that's why we should never get complacent. We keep building God's word into our heart. Because these are two of the devices of our enemy, the adversary. Affliction, to take you out, any kind of mental pressure. Or persecution. We continue to get rooted and don't get complacent. In we're in Mark chapter 4, verse 18. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. You notice in all of these categories, they hear it. They hear it. It's not like they don't, never heard it. Verse 19, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So three things here. Cares or concerns of this world. All that's going on around you. All of that can choke the word. Mm-hmm. The cares of this world. All the junk that's happening in the world today. And I mean, there's a few things going on. Oh, you could... I mean, isn't it... I was thinking when I grew up, there was the 6 o'clock news. You know, let's find out what's going on. You know, my folks would turn the TV on and hear the 6 o'clock news, or the newspaper would come in the morning. Now you can watch news 24 hours a day on more than one channel. There's a lot going on. So, the cares or concerns of this world, or deceitfulness of riches. And of course, it's not a sin to be wealthy. The Bible says it's the love of money that's the root, right? We know promises in God's word that God wishes above all things that we would prosper and be in health. So God has no problem. It's the deceitfulness of riches. It's the trusting in riches. And that chokes the word. And then the third thing here is the lust of other things. Lust is simply over desire, more than what you really need. Any of those three things will choke the word out of your heart. So what a great parable this is. I'm glad the disciples asked him. I'm glad he told them. And then I'm glad that God told Mark to write it down so we could read it. How blessed we are. And then finally we get to the fourth group, verse 20. These are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. They hear, though, with ears to hear. They have ears to hear. They want to know. They receive it. They bring forth fruit. In Matthew, it says of those who are good ground, they hear the word and understand it and bear fruit. And in the parallel record in Luke, it says about those who are good ground that they are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Verse 21 goes on, and he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be set on a candlestick? For there's nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. In verse 23, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Let him hear. A desire to understand, a desire to know. And that takes free will. Has somebody ever talked to you about something and you just really weren't interested? They went, oh, let me tell you about this, you know. And so maybe you're polite and you go, oh, that's really nice. But you don't really care. I mean, if somebody tells you about how they repaired a carburetor, well, I had a great day. I repaired this carburetor and, you know, and I had to take this off, and you're like, and you know, you'll never do that and you really don't care, but you don't want to go, look, I could care less about you. You know, you just see, that's what he was saying here. The multitudes heard the word. That's nice. Lunchtime yet? Okay, let's go. But Jesus Christ there in verse 23 again, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And then verse 24. And he said unto them, take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. Take heed to what you hear. Take heed what you hear. What are you listening to? Is it what will help you the most? Young's literal translation has this verse 24, and he said unto them, take heed what you hear. In what measure you measure, it shall be measured to you, and to you who hear, it shall be added. Matthew 13 has it this way, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whoso hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Whatever you consistently hear, look at, listen to, immerse yourself in, that same measure is going to come back to you. Whatever it is. That's why Jesus Christ said, look at this, verse 24. Take heed what you hear. I mean, you know, I'm not saying like, oh, don't have a hobby, because, you know, hobbies are great, things are wonderful, but it's the balance in life, because what you immerse yourself in will come back at you. So the point is, take heed what you hear. The more of the junk of this world that you immerse yourself in, the more of the junk of the world comes back at you. But the more of God's word that you hear, with ears to hear, a desire to understand, and believe it, good ground, the more of God's word comes to you, and you will be fruitful. What a master teacher Jesus Christ was. Verse 25, For he that hath, what? Ears to hear, taking heed to what he's listening to. He that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. And he just showed him that in the parable of the sower, right? What happened to the word they had? It was gone. The birds came and got it. The thorns got it. Verse 24 again. He said unto them, take heed what you hear. In this coming new year, let's take heed to what we're hearing. It's a good thing to do for a new year. All right, let me take heed to what I'm hearing. What we listen to, what we immerse ourselves in. And I highly recommend making time to hear with understanding God's words. You know, and not just on Sundays, but you know, make time every day to feed on God's word, to read it, to study it, to grow and keep getting rooted. And see, if we don't, we will be susceptible to the devices of the enemy to take God's word out of our hearts, whether it's afflictions, mental pressure, or persecution, or the cares of this world, or the deceitfulness of riches, or the lust of other things. That's why Jesus Christ said, take heed what you hear. Keep feeding on God's word. And secondly, for this coming year, let's speak God's word. Sow his word. Share the great truths of what Jesus Christ accomplished. I love the sower. Do you remember what Paul said? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase, right? We're going to close in the book of Acts this morning. Book of Acts. Acts, the book of Acts and the church epistles contain great truths about the kingdom of God, including all the rights, the privileges, and the abilities that those who are born again have because of what Jesus Christ accomplished for us. The book of Acts and the seven church epistles. As a side note, I thought I would close this teaching with this side note. The book of Acts begins with Jesus Christ teaching, guess what? Acts 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God in his resurrected body. That's how the book of Acts opens, with Jesus Christ teaching before he ascended about things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And guess how the book of Acts closes? Go to chapter 28, last chapter of book of Acts. In Acts 28, we find Paul, who has just arrived in Rome, a prisoner in verse 17, he had called together the chief of the Jews there in Rome, talked to him, and then they set up a meeting. So let's go to verse 23, if you would. When they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified what? The kingdom of God. Persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. That was a kind of a long fellowship, wasn't it? Yeah. Don't you wish you would have been there? I do. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. Can you imagine sitting there with the great Apostle Paul sharing the word of God from morning till evening and some people going, eh, whatever. That was kind of long. Can we get something to eat now? Mind if I go to the bathroom? Some believed and some didn't. And when they agreed not among themselves, in other words, they really weren't like-minded, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Spirit by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers. Oh, remember who said this? Jesus Christ. We read this in Matthew, right? Saying, go unto this people and say, hearing you shall hear and not understand, and seeing you shall see and not perceive. Why? For the heart of this people is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. God's desire is to bless people, to heal people, to help people. But God cannot believe for you, and he cannot believe for me. So I want to have ears to hear. I want to be good ground. I want a desire to know his word, to understand his word, and to believe it. Be it known therefore unto you, this is Paul speaking still, verse 28, that the salvation of God sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear it. And many of them did, didn't they? And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. Man, that was different. I don't know what they talked about. But I know it says in verse 30, Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him. Just had a nice fellowship there in his house. And what was he preaching? The kingdom of God, and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. What a great thing for us to preach about. The accomplishments of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What a blessing it is to be born again of God's Spirit and all the rights, privileges that we have as children of God and sons of God. We really do have some great news to share with others. And so in this new year, let's consistently speak those truths to ourselves first. Let's remind ourselves of who we are, what God's given us, what God's done for us. To consistently remind ourselves, as we do that, the roots go deeper. And then, of course, we speak to others who are hungry, those that have ears to hear. And not everybody does. So don't be shocked. Not everybody did when they heard Jesus Christ speak. Right? You know, there's a point in the Gospels where they got so offended at what Jesus Christ spoke that they went, the Bible says, and many of his disciples from that day walked no more with him. Disciples, not multitude. There's some disciples that went, all right, this is too much. I can't do it. We want to be good ground. That's what we want to be. So we speak the word to ourselves, and then we speak to others who are hungry, and we always speak to people the truth in love, right? In love. And so that night in Bethlehem, the Savior arrived. Years later, he would accomplish mankind's complete salvation and redemption. What a wonderful Savior we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. What a great, big, wonderful God to freely give us so much. And what a wonderful Word of God that we have the joy and privilege to speak to others. So let's pray. Our gracious, wonderful, almighty God, thank you for being our Father and our God. And thank you for so loving people that you sent your only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How grateful we are, Father, that he completed your plan of redemption and salvation, that we could truly be born again, born from above, with all the rights, privileges, and abilities that your word says we have. How thankful we are for who we are, what we have. And Father, we're just grateful for your word that you had written so that we, if we have ears to hear, could understand the great truths and see your great love. Really thankful, Father, for this year and for all that you have blessed us all with. We have many things to be thankful for. And Father, we anticipate, look forward to the return of Jesus Christ. And as we wait, Father, may we just stay rooted and grounded in your word and have love in our hearts to speak to others. I pray and ask you to bless everyone here in this room, everyone on the phone hookup, and everyone who's been a part of our Glendale Fellowship this year. Please bless them all. Please bring the healing that's needed. And Father, for all the other needs that folks may have, may you supply richly. Thank you for the great privilege of sharing your word this year. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Amen.